Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Brachos Daf Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Following the conclusion of our regular Daf Yomi Gemara Shiur, we will offer a supplemental Shiur covering the Tosfos of our Daf for those who are interested. Before we begin the Mishnah, a word about Maseches Brachos. This Maseches deals in large part with the halachas concerning Kriyas Shema, Tefillah, which is commonly known as Shmona Esrei, Birchas Hanenin, which are brachos that one recites before deriving benefit from things in this world, primarily food and drink, halachas concerning Birchas Hamazon, and other final brachos after eating, for example, Al HaMichya, Borei Nefoshos, halachas concerning the meal, different laws that apply to one's meal, and at the end of the Masechta, a number of other areas of brachos will be dealt with, as well as a considerable amount of time dedicated to the issue of dreams. Before we begin the Mishnah itself, we have a topic heading on the outside margin that we call the Nosei. In the Shas Ozer, which is the Shas that appears on your screen, the marked Gemaras, which are the cornerstone of Gemara markings, we offer topic headings that are referred to by the term Nosei, as well as structural notes when needed that we refer to by the term Mivneh. Sometimes you will notice that the Nosei and Mivneh are combined into one introductory note. Now we turn to the Mishnah, which deals with the halachas of time of the evening, the nighttime Kriyashma. Kriyashma is that which we recite morning and evening. And our Mishnah opens up with the issue of the time of the evening Kriyas Shema. The Mishnah, Me'emasai Kurin es Shema Be'arvin. From what point in time can one recite the Kriyas Shema and thereby fulfill his Kriyas Shema requirement? Mishal Shakoyanim Nechnosim Lechol B'Trumasan. From that time that Kohanim, who happened to have been Tomei, who were ritually impure, after having gone to the mikveh during the daytime and the sun going down, there comes a time at which they can now partake of the Truma, which is a special tithe given to Kohanim that requires them to be in a state of Tahara, ritual purity. So it's from that time of the evening that a Kohen becomes fit to eat the Truma. That's the beginning time as far as our Mishnah is concerned. What is the final time? So regarding this, there are three opinions in our Mishnah. Ad Soifa Shmura HaRishona Divrei Rebbe Eliezer. Until the first breakdown of the evening. The issue of Ashmura will be dealt with later in the Gemara. Rashi immediately tells us, based on the Gemara later on Daf Gimel, until the end of the first third of the night. This is Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. You'll notice in our markings, we've assigned an Aleph to the beginning time and a Beis to the end time. And after the Beis, we have 1, 2, and 3 representing the three opinions, the first of which we've already learned. Number 2, V'chachomim Omrim Ad Chatzos. they say until midnight, until the halfway mark of the night. Of course, these times will change depending on the season. There are summer nights which are relatively short in hours, of night hours, and there are winter nights which are relatively long in hours. So those we can't affix a time on the clock as we learned the Mishnah, but rather refer to first third of the night as we did with regard to Rabbi Lezer, the midpoint of the night with regard to the Chachamim, and now Rabbi Gamliel Omer, Ad Shiala Amud HaShachar, until dawn. The Mishnah continues, Maise Ubo Bonov Mibeis Hamishte. There was an incident involving the sons of Rabbi Gamliel who came from a Beis Hamishte, a wedding, and during the wedding festivities, often people drink and become imbibed and intoxicated, and therefore they don't fulfill the mitzvahs that they ought to do early on. And Omru lo Karinu Eshma, they told their father that, their father meaning they told Rabbi Gamliel, that we haven't as yet recited the Shema. Omar Lohem, so Rabbi Gamliel told his sons, Im lo ola amud hashachar, if dawn hasn't arrived, chayovim atem likrois, you are under the obligation, you are still obligated to read, to recite the Kriya Shema. Veloizu bilvad, Omru, not only Kriya Shema, Elo koma shomru chachomim ad chatzos, anything that the chachomim said, as we saw in our Mishnah, the chachomim said until chatzos, all other things, other mitzvahs or obligations that they say is till midnight, mitzvosan ad shalom hashachar, the true fulfillment, one can fulfill until the dawning of the morning, till dawn time. As far as Kriya Shema is concerned, Rashi tells us that Shitas Gamliel that says Ad Shalom Shachar is because the whole night is called Zman Shiva, the time of Shiva, the time of sleeping. The posuk in the Torah that refers to Kriya Shema says B'shachvucha uvukumecha. As far as that particular posuk serving as a source for time of Kriya Shema, this will be subject of discussion in the upcoming Dapim. But for the time being, Rabbi Gamliel's opinion that says you can recite the Kriya Shema until dawn, that's because the nighttime Kriya Shema is dictated by that which it says in the Torah, B'shach B'cha, the time that you are sleeping, and that is until dawn. The Mishnah continues, Hekter Chalovim Ve'evorim Mitzvosan Ad Shi'al Amud HaShachar. The burning of the innards and limbs of sacrifices in the Beis HaMikdash, that can take place till dawn. Let us glance at Rashi on this point. You'll notice that there is a little star that we have a bit further down in the Rashi. The Hekter Chalovim Dekotoni Hocha Lo Omru Bo Chachomim Ad Chatzos Klal. Regarding this particular mitzvah of burning the innards of sacrifices that had been offered during the previous day, is brought in this Mishnah not as an example of something the Chachamim said is to be done by midnight. V'lonokat luhu hacha, it is not cited here other than elo lehodia shekol dovar hanoi balayla, that anything that is practiced during the night, as is the case with the burning of the innards of sacrifices that were offered during the day, this kosher kol halayla, is something that can be done all night. There's another point in Rashi that is a detail that is not so easily understood without kochim background, without background in the halachas of sacrifices. So we'll just look at a Rashi found a bit earlier regarding the burning of the innards. The Rashi we're looking at is Dibor Masu Mitzvosan. You'll notice it's opposite the second line of the Mishnah. Rashi says Mitzvosan regarding the innards, Lahalois Kol Halayla, to offer the innards and limbs of those sacrifices that were offered during the previous day, the Enon nifsalin belina, they don't become unfit through the ruination called lina, that is the situation of something that's of a sacrificial nature left beyond its time, so that these limbs, which we say are a mitzvah to burn all through the night, they don't become unfit ad shiala amud hashachar, until the day, until dawn comes, behein lamato min hamizbeach. Now this point is that the limbs will become unfit to be burnt on the mizbeach by dawn, if they are not on the top of the Mizbeach. That's what Rashi means, v'heim l'mata min ha-Mizbeach. However, there is a detail regarding these limbs and innards, and that is that if they happen to be left on the top of the Mizbeach from throughout the night, and were not on the floor of the Beis HaMikdash, but rather remained on the top, those limbs and innards can be burnt even after dawn arrives. However, if they were not on the top of the Mizbeach when dawn arrives, then they will become unfit. But you do have all night to have burnt them. We turn back to the Mishnah. V'chol ha'ne'echolim li'yoyim echod. All sacrifices that you have a one-day period of time in which to finish them. That would include sacrifices like a korban chatos or a korban osham. These are sacrifices that you slaughter during the day. You have that point in time during the day that they're slaughtered and the blood is sprinkled, plus the following night. So you have, that is the time period in which you have to eat them. So the Mishnah says, mitzvosan, the mitzvah to eat them lasts ad shi'ala mud hashachar, until dawn. Im kein loma omru chachomim ad chatzos. If you really have until dawn, so then why do the chachomim say that you have until midnight with regard to kriya shma and with regard to the eating of sacrifices? Answer: kedei laharchik odo min ha'avera, so as to distance a person from sin. What do we mean by that? We say that you have only until chatzos. Person knows that he has until chatzos, he will hasten up in trying to fulfill the mitzvah by chatzos, by midnight. If for some reason he does it beyond midnight, so we will say that he's not in violation of a Torah prohibition. That's what we mean by distancing a person from sin. If they wouldn't assign midnight as the deadline, so a person would think, well, I've got all night to do it, and he'll be lax about his performance, and then end up not doing it at all, or violating that which he should have done. Let us take a look at the Rashi, kedei laharchik odom min ha'avera. Rashi says, v'osrum ba'achilo koidem zmanam, with regard to sacrifices, the chachomim asr, they forbade eating them even before the real deadline, kedei shelo yovu lochlen la'achar amud ha'shachar, v'yishayev kores, so as to prevent a person from eating them after dawn. And if a person would eat a korban after dawn, he is in effect eating nosar and is guilty of a kores punishment. Kores is interpreted at times as someone who doesn't live out his full life, or a situation where, heaven forbid, one's children die during his lifetime. So that in order to keep a person from coming to the edge of time, so to speak, and then going over, we say we have a barrier that we establish at midnight, telling him that this is the deadline. So that even if, let us say, he would eat beyond chatzos, but still during the nighttime, he wouldn't be guilty of a kores penalty. V'chein b'kriya shma. Likewise, with regard to kriya shma, the chachamim said you have until chatzos, lezareis es ha'odom, in order to hasten a person, shelo yomar, the person shouldn't rationalize and say, yesh li od sheus, oh, I've got plenty of time, u'besoch kach yala mud hashachar v'avor lo hazman, and in in the interim, the dawn will come, and he hasn't yet said Kriya Shema, and the time will pass whereby he won't be able to fulfill it anymore. We turn now to the Gemara. Before we learn the Gemara, we can take note of our nosei, our topic heading. By the way, we missed reading the topic heading before on the Mishnah, but we can learn it now as a method of review, so that the previous topic heading, you'll notice positioned a little higher up opposite the Mishnah, we had written in there, Zman Kriya Shema Shel Arvis, the beginning time. The topic of the Mishnah dealt with the beginning time of the time, that is, for the recitation of the evening Kriya Shema. Aleph was Tchilas Zmano, the beginning time, and Beis, Sof Zmano. And we added, in parentheses, Sholosh Deos B'Mishnah, there are three opinions in the Mishnah, B'Inyan Sof Zmano, regarding the final time for Kriya Shema recitation. We can glance now at the topic heading introducing the Gemara, and we read as follows. Shnei She'elois. The Gemara will have two questions. Number one. In order to ask the question of from when do we read the Shema, there has to be some type of source indicating that there is an obligation to do this act of reading the Shema. So, first, you have to establish that there exists an obligation, the oz lishol me'emosai, and then you can ask from when, for at what point in time does this obligation begin. So the Gemara will be interested in establishing mahu oisoi mokor. What is that source? What is the source for having to recite the Kriya Shema? Number two, Lama Donim B'Kriya Shema Shel Arvis Lefnei Kriya Shema Shel Shacharis. Another point that will come under discussion is, why is it that we are discussing the evening Kriya Shema before we discuss the daytime Kriya Shema? So now we turn to the Gemara. Notice we have little numbers here indicating the two questions. Number one, Tana Hecha koi dekotoni me'emosai. Our Tana, namely our Mishnah, that asks the question of from when do you say the Kriya Shema, where is he coming from, or where is he literally, where is he standing in so far as the obligation to recite Kriya Shema? In other words, where is he coming from that he can ask the question concerning time before we have some type of statement that there is an obligation in the first place? So the first question is, where is our Tana coming from? He's coming off of some source that said that there is a Kriya Shema obligation. Vesu. A second question. My Shno Detoni De Arvis Beresha, listening to Shachris Beresha. What is different about the evening that the Tana chooses to teach evening, about evening Kriya Shema first? Why not teach morning Kriya Shema first? The Gemara answers, as far as the source from which he is coming from, it's a pasuk in the Torah. And truth be told, the Pasuk in the Torah can also supply information regarding the second question as well, in terms of the order of things. That our Mishnah chooses to deal first with the issue of Kriya Shema of the evening. In a subsequent Mishnah, the issue of from what time does one recite the daytime Kriya Shema will be dealt with later. So the Gemara says, and we have a little aleph, because there is a second approach to this issue in a few lines. So Aleph, Tana Akro Koi. The Tana is coming off of the Pasuk. Dichtiv, Beshachvecha Uvekumecha. That's a Pasuk that one finds in the Kriya Shema that we recite. v'hachi kotoni, and thusly we are to understand our Mishnah. In other words, what is the intent of our Mishnah? You'll notice that we have a frame around the next couple of lines, because in our marking system we attempt to frame off not only Tanaic sources but also the intention of the Tanaic sources, as well as restructuring of Tanaic sources that the Gemara often does throughout the Shas. So the next couple lines you see in the frame represent this type of rereading of the Mishnah, if you will, or a different deeper understanding of the Mishnah. So, thusly, our Mishnah intends to teach Zman Kriyat Shema D'Shchiva Emas, the Zman of Kriyat Shema, of the time people sleep, that is mentioned in the Pasuk, so that the Tana's source is the Pasuk, and therefore the Tana is coming off of an earlier source, if you will, namely the Pasuk, and we are asking, what is the time of Kriyat Shema that's mentioned in the Pasuk, B'Shachvecha? And to this, the Mishnah answers, Mishol Sha'Kohanim Nichnosim Lechol B'Trumasim, from the point in time that Kohanim are fit for eating Truma after they had been in a state of Tuma. So that encapsulated in this response is an answer to both questions. The first question is, what is the source of a Kriyat Shema obligation? So the source for that is the pasuk that says that you shall recite, you shall say it b'shachbecha uvekumecha. And in that pasuk also you see that b'shachbecha precedes uvekumecha. Kumecha means the time you get up, the daytime. So that's why we deal with the nighttime Kriyat Shema first. So the Pasuk itself serves as a source and also the issue of order. The Iboy Esema, another approach to the issue of why we deal with Arvis first, Yolif Mibriyaso Shel Olam. We learn this from the creation of the world. The pasuk in creation says, "Dichtiv vayhi erev vayhi boker yoyim echad." That the pasuk cites first evening, erev, and then boker, so that you see that when you're dealing with giving precedence to time periods, we give precedence to the evening before we deal with the morning. The Gemara now asks, Ihachi, in focusing on this second answer, that we deal with evening matters before dealing with daytime matters, as the pasuk says, "Vayere vayboker," then seifa dekatoni, the continuation of our Mishnah, which is found later. You find this Tanaic source, namely a Mishnah, found on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. It says regarding the number of brachos that accompany the Kriyat Shema. It says as follows: B'shachar mevorech shtayim lefoneh v'achas lachareha. In the morning Kriyat Shema, we say two brachos before the Kriyat Shema and one after the Kriyat Shema. Uba'erev, with regard to the evening Kriyat Shema, mevorech shtayim lefoneh u'shtayim lachareha. One recites two before the Kriyat Shema and two after the Kriyat Shema. Well, what do you see in this source? And we've dashed underlined the key words. You see Vashachar, which is morning, daytime Kriyat Shema, and Erev, evening Kriyat Shema. The order, quite different than what we just suggested before. Well, if the Pasuk of Erev Ayboker tells me deal first with evening, why in this source that we just learned in the frame, why does it feature morning before evening? Lisni da'arvis bereisha. It should have taught the evening first. The Gemara answers, as far as the Tanaic structure is concerned, Tana Posach Ba'arvis, our Perek, our Tana in this Perek opens up with the evening. V'hodar Tani B'shachris, the Mishnah on Daf Tes Amid Beis then deals with the time of Kriyashma of the morning. Well, Ad Dekoi B'shachris, once he's dealing already with morning, time of Kriyashma, Porush Mili D'shachris, as an extension of time of morning, which he was dealing with, the Mishnah then deals with the brachos. That's Porush Mili D'shachris. The Tana spells out details, and as we said, that's with regard to the number of brachos of the Shachris Kriyashma. That's the Mishnah on Daf Yud Aleph. The Hadar Porush Mili Darvis. Then he goes back to give further details regarding the evening Kriyashma, the number of brachos surrounding the evening Kriyashma. I often like to refer to this as the 1-2-2-1 structure, where we open up with the evening, which we call 1, and then number 2, then we deal with the timing of the morning Kriyashma. Once we were dealing already with the morning Kriyashma, so we spelled out details on that number 2 point, and then we go back and spell out details concerning the evening Kriyashma, which was our number 1 point. The Gemara continues with a quote from the Mishnah, Omar Mar, Mishosh Shakrinim Nichnosim Lechol B'Trumosan. In citing the beginning time for Kriyashma recitation, the Mishnah said it is from the time that Kohanim, who had been Tomei, can now resume their eating of Truma. Michti. Looking into this matter, Kohanim Emas Koachli Truma, from when do Kohanim who had been Tomei resume their eating of Truma? Mishas Tseis HaKohavim, it is known that that starts from the appearance of three stars. Listeni, Mishas Tseis HaKohavim. The Mishnah could have simply said that the beginning time of Kriyashma recitation in the evening is from the appearance of three stars. Why is it that the Mishnah taught the beginning time in this fashion, by making reference to the beginning time of Truma consumption? So the Gemara answers, Milsa Agav Urche Komash Malon. The Mishnah told us something additional by the way. In other words, by saying the beginning time of the evening Kriyashma in terms of Truma consumption, it taught us, now notice we have a bracketed section, we skip the bracketed section initially, and we discover what is it that we are taught by the way. De kapora lo ma'akva. Kapora is a term meaning bringing of sacrifices. There are different kinds of tuma situations that in order to fully extricate oneself from the tuma period having lasted, let us say, a week's time, on the following day, the eighth day after the week has passed, the week that we call the week of Tahara has passed, a person then brings a sacrifice on the eighth day. The morning, we'll say, the daytime following the 7 days of purification that are necessary. Our Mishnah, by saying that the evening Kriyashma is recited at the point that Kohanim can start eating the Truma, the Mishnah is telling us that for Truma consumption, there is no need to wait for the bringing of that sacrifice. that's necessary for certain types of tumah. Kedesanya, and this is illustrated in the following Tanaic source. Uvo Hashemesh v'toher. This is a pasuk in the context of eating of truma. Bias shimsho makvosu milechol b'truma. The setting of the sun is a binding factor with regard to the eating of truma. In other words, without the setting of the sun and the appearance of three stars, without that, a kohen who was tameh cannot eat of truma. However, the ein kaparosei ma'akvosei milechol b'truma, but the bringing of the sacrifice that one is obligated to do on the following day, that's not binding with regard to truma consumption. It is binding with regard to the eating of sacrificial meat or the eating of sacrifices. For that, one does have to bring that sacrifice. However, a kohen who is tameh, even if it were for a period of a type of tumah that necessitates 7 days of purification and a subsequent bringing of a sacrifice on the eighth day, nevertheless, for truma consumption, it's enough that the 7 purification days go by, he immerses himself in a mikveh, waits for sundown, and then at the appearance of 3 stars, he can then eat the truma. So by associating the evening kriyashma with the eating of truma, we understand that already at the evening, before the eighth day, already at the evening that precedes that eighth day, he is already able to eat of the truma. And that tells us this point that kapora lo ma'akva. Now, in our reading of the Gemara, we skipped a couple of lines in order to preserve the logical flow. We have a little note with that's accompanied by a double star. You can see on the inside margin where we've noted Sograyim L'shem Dilug. We have included this bracketed section for the purpose of skipping. Kedei L'hokel al Akriya, to make the reading simpler. And again, just to give a flavor of the reading, we had said in the Gemara, Milsa Agav Urche Komash Molon, De Kapora Lo Ma'akva. The Mishnah was telling us this tangential point that the bringing of a sacrifice is not Ma'akev, is not binding for the eating of Truma. Now, let us reread the Gemara with the bracketed section included. We have a little mark to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You'll notice a vertical dash dotted line that enables you to see the beginning and end point of the bracketed section. Oftentimes, bracketed sections are much longer than this. So, now, the Gemara, once again, we read 5 lines from the bottom, Milso agav urche komash molon. The Mishnah tells us a tangential point. Kohanim emas koachli betruma. From when do Kohanim who were tamei resume their eating of truma? Mishas tseis hakechavim. From the appearance of 3 stars. Veho komash molon. And the following is the tangential point of the Mishnah. And that is de kapora lo ma'akva. Be very careful in the reading of this section of Gemara when the Gemara says milsa agav urche komash molon. The tangential point is not the fact that Kohanim eat from the appearance of 3 stars. That's a given. But the tangential point is that they don't have to wait for the bringing of the sacrifice regarding those kind of tumos that had a sacrifice obligation accompanying them. In the Tanaic source that we read, a pasuk was cited in which it said, Uvo Hashemesh v'toher. The Gemara, at the bottom line, looks into this. Before we continue with the Gemara, we glance at the outside margin, where we have a Nosei Mivne heading. Under this, you'll notice, we have a topic plus a structural note combined. In the Gemara itself, we feature a diamond These diamonds represent shnei gishois, two approaches, legalois pirush haposuk, to reveal the explanation of the posuk that said uvo hashemesh v'toher. We've included the posuk on the inside margin, vayikra perik chof beis, posuk zayin. It says uvo hashemesh v'toher v'achar yochal min hakadoshim, that the sun sets, he then achieves purification, tahara, and then he can partake of items that are holy. As far as our discussion, our most recent discussion is concerned, we were dealing with the eating of truma. Truma being classified as something that is holy. The pasuk itself, though, it says, uvo hashemesh. What does that expression mean? So the Gemara asks, umimai dahai uvo hashemesh equals bias hashemesh. Bias hashemesh means the setting of the sun, an evening phenomenon. Vahai v'toher equals toher yuma. Toher yuma means the day ends. Dilma, maybe bias orohu. Maybe what the pasuk is saying is bias oro. Uvo hashemesh means the bias oro. Now here, we're going to, in this section of our shir, in the Gemara section, we're going to be using Rashi's approach. Rashi's approach is that bias oro means morning. Umai v'toher. And what does v'toher mean? Toher gavro. The person becomes tohor. And how does a person become tohor? If your focus is the morning, he would become tohor by the bringing of sacrifices. And if you were to take this approach, then we would end up saying that the bringing of sacrifices is a binding factor. In other words, in order to eat of truma, then you would have to have the arrival of the morning, and the man would have to bring sacrifices. So maybe that's the pshat in the pasuk. Omar Rabo bar Rav Shilo. So Rabo answers, not so. Im Kain, if Vitoher was a reference to the person becoming Tohor, and as Rashi says, it would be an instruction for him to bring sacrifices, then lema kra, the pasuk grammatically should have said v'yitar, my v'toher. If the pasuk was an instruction to the person to become Torah through the bringing of sacrifices, it should have been in a command form, v'yitar, my v'toher. Grammatically, in this form, v'toher means toher yuma. It means end of day, something that happens automatically. Kida Amri Inchi, as people say, Iarev Shimsha, the Idki Yuma. The word the Idki is an Aramaic equivalent of the word Toher. So, what is common speech? Amri Inchi, common speech of people is, Iarev Shimsha, the sun set, the Idki Yuma, and the day ends. So, when you read the Pasuk with a grammatical mindset, the pasuk says, "Uvo Hashemesh v'toher," the sun sets, and with that, the day ends. And as such, he can now partake of his truma. Notice a second diamond and a little number two in a diamond to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. This follows the number one that we had on featured on the bottom of Omen Aleph. B'Marova, in Marova, in Eretz Yisrael, Marova is a reference to, literally it means to the west, being that we're learning the Shas Bavli, Bovel, a region east of Israel. So in this, in Babylonia, you'll find the term B'Marova, in the west, a reference to Eretz Yisrael. So B'Marova, Hoda Rabo Bar Rav Shilo Lo Shmia Lahu. They were not familiar with Rabo's explanation of the Pasuk, and his proof that it's referring to the end of the day, to the evening, through his grammatical proof. They raised the question, the same question, as far as what is the explanation of the pasuk, in the same fashion that we raised it, namely, is it the evening? Maybe it's a reference to the morning. And their resolution of the pasuk, in order, how are we to understand the pasuk? They will find proof or an answer in a Tanaic source, but not through a we'll call grammatical proof, like Rabba Barav Shilo did. So in Eretz Yisrael, they raise the question: Hai uvo Hashemesh, the issue or the pasuk that says uvo Hashemesh regarding truma, bias shimshohu. Is it a reference to the evening, the setting of the sun, umay v'toher torah yuma, and v'toher would mean end of day, with the sun setting, the day ends, and then they can eat of their kachim, oy dilma, or bias orohu. Maybe it's a reference to the bias oro, and Rashi's pshat was the morning, umay v'toher, and what does v'toher mean? Torah Gavra, and as Rashi explained, Torah Gavra means the person becomes Tomei through his bringing of sacrifices. So this was the question that was raised in Ma'arava, V'hodar Poshtu Law, Mi Braisa. They then resolved it from something found in a Brais and a Tanaic source, Midikatoni Ba'Braisa, from the fact that it taught in a Braisa that Kriya Shema is recited from the time that Kohanim are fit to eat Truma, and in the Braisa that's cited later on this page, there's a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, which can be aligned with an arrow found a bit later where this source is quoted from. It says there regarding the issue of Kohanim and their eating of Truma, it says, Simin ledover tseis ha-kechavim. In order to become aware of when that time is, you'll notice it with the appearance of stars. Oh, so Kohanim eating of Truma is associated with the coming out of stars. Shma mina, we can therefore understand Bias Shimshahu, like the first side of the analysis, the Aleph side, as we indicated above, meaning evening, Bias Shimsho, the setting of the sun, Umay Vitoher, and what then would Vitoher mean? Toher Yuma, end of day. Omar Mar, a quote from that which we have learned earlier, and that is the time of the beginning time of Kriya Shema recitation is, we saw in our Mishnah, Mishor Sha'akrinim Nichnosim Lechol B'Trumasan. And it went on to say, Ad Soif Ho Ashmura Harishona. The beginning time is from when Kohanim can start partaking of their Truma after they had been Tomei, until the end of the first section, the first breakdown of the evening, the first third of the night. That's the time span which is allotted for Kriya Shema. Before we go on in the Gemara, we want to glance at our outside margin where you see the Nosei, a topic heading. We have written, HaGemara Meviyah Braisa. The Gemara will cite a Tanaic source, Dekotoni Bo Zmanim Shel Kriya Shema, in which times for Kriya Shema are featured. Different times. Tchilasa V'sofa, the beginning time, and end time. HaGemara Tevarer Im Zmanim Halolu Shoinim Mehani Dekotoni B'Mishnosenu Olo. The Gemara will analyze, will try to clarify whether the times cited in this Tanaic source are different than the times cited in our Mishnah, or not. This issue will preoccupy the large part of this Omid of Gemara, almost till the bottom. In addition, we have a structural note, the Mivneh, and you can see a triangle is featured. In parentheses, we've included the expression ma'akav. Ma'akav is an attempt to keep track of a give-and-take style of Gemara, where the Gemara goes back and forth with different possibilities. In our note, we've added nisyonos, the triangle with its point facing up, as opposed to the flipped over triangle, which is part of our give and take demonstration or illustration. With the point facing up, these are nisyonos, attempts, laharos, to show the resha de braisa, the inyan tchilas zman kriyashma, regarding the beginning time of kriyashma, misha'oni nichnas lecho pito. This is something that we will see in the Gemara, the beginning time referred to by the time a poor man and the evening goes to eat his literally his bread. That time, the beginning time, as illustrated from the time in Oni, a poor man starts eating, polig atchilas zman shemofia b'mishnosenu, is an odds with regard to the beginning time mentioned in our Mishnah, mishah shehakoyhanim nichnosim lecho b'trumasan. So there will be an attempt to show that the Tanaic source, the Braisa, is at odds with the Mishnah. Then a triangle will appear in a flipped over fashion, Dechia, a rejection, Lomar, Shehem, HaBraisa v'Mishnah, Lo Cholkim, V'inyin Tchilas Zman Kriyashma, De'oni V'Kohen Chad Shi'ura. At which point the Gemara will try to say that the Oni, the beginning time of Kriyashma, as defined by the time an Oni, a poor man, goes to eat his meal, and the Kohen time are one in the same. Another marking that will appear in the Gemara is the use of a double underline, and this is Havlotas, an attempt to accentuate one, Oni V'Kohen Chad Shi'ura, V'HaMishnah V'Braisa Lo Cholkim, to show possibly that Oni and Kohen are one in the same, and the Braisa and the Mishnah would not be at odds with one another. Number two, Oni L'chud V'Kohen L'chud. And if you say that the Oni is a time unto himself, and the Kohen represents a different time, V'Mishnah Braisa Cholkim, if that would be the conclusion, then the Mishnah and the Braisa would be at odds with one another differing with one another, in conflict with one another, if you will. Simun ze, the double underlined marking, this marking, miyuad kedei livchoin ve'eze emda oichazim b'chol shlav shel hadiyun, in order to determine what point we are holding by at each stage of the discussion. We will also be using another type of dashed underline, a diagonal dashed underline, which will highlight the expressions Havlotas Kayanim V'Oni V'Braisazu. That will become self-evident when we get to it later on the page. In the meantime, let us go back to the point of the Gemara where you see the two dots. Omar Mar, Mishah Shakunim Nichnosim Lechol B'Trumasan. Our Mishnah said that the beginning time for Kriyashma is from the time that Kohanim are able to resume their eating of Truma after they had been in a state of Tuma. And it also said, Ad Sof HaShmura HaRishona, until the end of the first breakdown of the night, the first third of the night. Viraminu, we raise a contradiction from a Tanaic source in which the source deals with the times of Kriyashma, and it says Me'emos Aikurin es Shema ba'arvin, from when do we read the Kriyashma in the evening? Mishe'oni nichnas lecho pito b'melach, from the time of evening that a poor man who doesn't have means, he doesn't have candles even to provide light for his meal, so the time of evening where there may be a glimmer of light yet in the sky is the time at which he would begin his meal. Ad shal sha'ime lipoter mitoch sudaso, until, meaning the end time of Kriyashma, is parallel with the time that the Oni finishes his meal. So we have a Tanaic source in which you see a beginning time and an end time. Seifa vadai pligo amasnisin. the end of this Tanaic source, which refers to the end time of Kriyat Shema, is definitely at odds with our Mishnah. Our Mishnah gave end times for Kriyat Shema, whether it be Ashmur Rishona, like Rebbe Lezer, whether it be Chatzos, like the Rabbonin, or Amud HaShachar of Rebbe Gamliel. Those times are very different than the end time of this source. This end time, is one can safely assume, is much earlier, a much earlier end time than that which was featured in the Mishnah. So that regarding the end time, this Tanaic source in our Mishnah cannot be resolved with one another. Reisha mi lemo pligi amas nisen, regarding the Reisha, which said from the time an Oni starts his meal, is that a different time than the time of Kehanim resuming their eating of Truma? So, do we necessarily say that the Mishnah and this Tanaic source are contradictory? So to this, the Gemara says, no, loi, they are not. Notice the triangle flips over. Initially, the Gemara raised contradiction. Here, the Gemara says, no contradiction. Oni v'kayin chad shi'urahu. And you can see we've emphasized this with a double underline, that as far as the Mishnah and the Braisa and beginning time of Kriyat Shema, they are one and the same. However, the Gemara is relentless. Veraminu. Notice we have the triangle again, point facing up. At this point, we go into a mode whereby we will try to say that they are at odds with one another regarding the beginning time. We also have a long mark. Since we've established that the triangles with the point facing up represent a question type mode, you'll notice to the immediate left hand side of the Gemara text an extensive vertical dashed line. That means that all of these lines of Gemara opposite this vertical dashed line develop the problem, the question. This source features a continued presentation of beginning times of Kriyat Shema, and it says, from what point in time does the Kriyat Shema time begin? From the time that people would enter to eat their Friday night meal. That's Rabbi Meir's opinion. The Chachamim omrim, Mishal Shehakoinim Zakoin Lechol B'Trubasan, from the time that Kohanim would be able to resume their eating of Truma after they had been Tomei, Simen Ledovar Tseis HaKechavim. And a way to recognize that would be with the appearance of stars in the evening. You'll notice we have a bracketed section, and the bracket length indicator to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, a vertical dash dotted line, helps you find where the end of the bracketed section comes up. In order to make the Gemara reading easier, it's suggested that the first read-through, we skip this section in order to focus specifically on the times and the opinions of Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, in order to appreciate the Gemara's kasha. Within the bracketed section, the Braisa, the Tanaic source, and the Gemara that follows the Tanaic source will deal with psukim that show us that the boundaries of of daytime, the boundaries of nighttime, are Tseis HaKochavim, the appearance of stars, that's the beginning of night, and Amud HaShachar, the dawn, is the end of the night. But in the meantime, before we get to that, we concentrate on the Gemara outside the brackets. Kosakodaitoch, we're skipping, notice, to the section after the brackets. The Gemara says we are making an assumption. The oni ubnei adam chad shi'urahu. We mentioned oni before in the short Tanaic source where the first triangle appeared, that was Oni. In this Tanaic source, there is a reference to Bnei Odom. That was the opinion of Rabbi Meir. There is an assumption that Oni, the time when Oni begins his meal, and the time people begin their Friday night meals, Chad Shi'urahu, they represent the same time. Now, making that assumption, the Iamris, Oni V'Kohen Chad Shi'urahu, if you say that Oni, that was featured in the first triangle Tanaic source, if you say that Oni and Kohen are one and the same, which, by the way, is that which we attempted to conclude with our double underline before, and Oni, we're assuming right now, is the same as Bnei Adam, you know what comes out? Chachomim Hainu Rabbi Meir. The Chachomim that appeared together with Rabbi Meir in the same source, and when two opinions appear in the same source, they are definitely arguing with one another, otherwise they wouldn't both appear. It would then come out, though, that the Chachomim are one in the same as Rabbi Meir, and that can't be because they appear as arguing in the source. Elo Shma Mina. But in order to justify the appearance of Rabbi Meir and the Chachomim as arguing, you have to then conclude Oni Shi'ura Lechud V'Kayin Shi'ura Lechud, that the beginning time represented by Oni is different than beginning time represented by Kohen. And now if you say that, then we'll have to say that the Resha of the Tanaic source above, where the first triangle appeared, the ratio, the beginning time, the beginning of the source, which dealt with the beginning time of Kriya Shema, is at odds with our Mishnah. Namely, not only is the end time cited in that opening source different than our Mishnah, but beginning time is also at odds. Loi, the triangle flips over and says no. Don't conclude that Oni and Kohen are different times. Rather, Oni v'Kohen chad shiurahu. Rather, as we tried to conclude initially, that the Oni time and the Kohen time are really one in the same, and that the opening Tanaic source regarding beginning time is not at odds with our Mishnah. And as far as why we may have thought otherwise, it was because of an assumption that we made that we're now going to change. The Oni ubnei Adam lav chad shiurahu. The beginning time represented by Oni is not the same as beginning time represented by people on Friday night. You'll notice that we have a little star to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. This can be aligned with the star a few lines above. Initially, we tried to say that Oni and Bnei Adam are one shiur. You notice the dot underline here. You'll see the difference, that Oni and Bnei Adam are not one in the same. The Gemara, though, continues. V'Oni v'Kohen chad shiurahu. This is the beginning of a question. Once again, the question is lasts a number of lines. However, we before going on with this subsequent question, we have a number of lines that we skipped that were in brackets. So let us now go back over the bracketed section. The Mishnah had said, the Tanaic source that is, had mentioned that the beginning time of Kriya Shema of the evening is from the time that Kohanim start eating their Truma, and that represents the beginning of the night. And in order to recognize that, the Simin Ludover Seisachavim, the beginning of the night, which is the time for the, which is what we call the time for nighttime Kriya Shema, that's represented by the appearance of stars. So apparently, appearance of stars constitutes beginning of night. That's a boundary between day and night. So the Gemara continues in the bracketed section. The Avapi Shein Raya Lodavar, even though there isn't an explicit
proof to this, that the day ends with Tzeis HaKoychovim, Zecher L'Dover. There is, however, an allusion to it. Shenemar, there is a pasuk that says, "V'anachnu oisim b'malocha, v'chetziyom machzikim b'ramocha me'alos ha'shachar ad Tzeis HaKoychovim." This is a pasuk in the book of Nehemiah that says that we were involved with work, while some of the people were involved with holding spears from dawn till the appearance of stars. V'omer, and it says in the same section of the book of Nehemiah, and it says, V'hoyu lonu halaylo mishmor, v'ayoyim melocha.
You notice the term melocha appears in the first pasuk, that we were doing melocha, and it mentioned there from Alos HaShachar until Tzeis HaKoychovim. And in this pasuk it mentions that the Yom was for Melacha. So you see the term Yom associated with the time period called Alos HaShachar until Tzeis HaKoychovim. That's called Yom. The Gemara goes on, my V'omer, what do I gain by having this second pasuk? Would it not have been sufficient to have the first pasuk, which said that we were doing melacha me'alos ha'shachar until Tzeis HaKoychovim? What is gained by this second pasuk? So the Gemara answers, v'chitema, that without this second pasuk, I would have thought, me'chi'arva shimsha lailahu, that maybe with the setting of the sun going below the horizon, that is called Laila. That is the beginning of Laila. The Inhu, the Machshechi Umekadmi, they featured in the Pasuk with regard to their work, they added from Shkia, they added work from sundown till the appearance of stars. Umekadmi, they came early, they came namely from dawn, which is earlier than, let's say, sunrise. And that really the boundaries of a day are, let's say, sunrise and sunset. Toshma, so in order to let's say reject that assumption, we have the second pasuk that says that they were not coming to work earlier than the day and leaving already after the night has already set in, but rather v'hoyu lanu halaylo mishmar v'hayoyim melacha. That which was featured in the pasuk before regarding melacha, meaning it said there they were b'melacha, they were me'alos hashachar ad Tzeis HaKoychovim. That is the definition of yom, and not an illustration of some extended period, meaning before day till after night already set in. So we see that the boundary of a daytime is established by dawn and ends with appearance of stars. Skipping down just a couple of lines, the Gemara, as we said, is going to now raise a new question in our continued flow, the give and take of the Gemara. The Gemara, where the triangle appears as second word on the line, the Oni, the Kohen, Chach, Yurehu. Is it really so, as you want to conclude, that Oni and Kohen are one in the same? Vera Minu, we raise a contradiction to that. And this, too, is a long, we have a long marking. In fact, in this case, it's a long question. You can see that by the dashed vertical line to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. How can you say that Oni and Kohen are one in the same? V'rominu, we raise a contradiction to this. Now, in this source, let us state a warning, and that is, there are a number of different opinions in this source. For our first read-through of the Gemara, it's not important to emphasize all of the different opinions.
What we need to do is to emphasize that which we've marked with a slashed type dashed underline, the diagonal dashed underline. You'll see in this source a reference to Kehanim, and later in the source a reference to Oni. In fact, the two reference points that we have been dealing with till now. In this source, we've also highlighted Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Hanina with a house marking. This is because it's at these two shitas are that appear in one source, and as we mentioned before, when you have multiple shitas, multiple opinions in one source, they are there to argue with one another. By highlighting Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Hanina, you see that they are arguing with one another. What does each one say? Well, Rabbi Yeshua speaks about the Kohanim, and Rabbi Hanina speaks about the Oni. So Oni and Kohen are two different time periods. You can't say they are one and the same, because if you do, Rabbi Hanina will come out the same as Rabbi Yeshua, and that can't be, because they both appear in the same source, indicating they are arguing with one another. Therefore, it will be necessary to conclude that the time represented by Oni is different than the time represented by the Kohen. So that if that be our conclusion, and it in fact will be like that, you can see we've double underlined that conclusion later, the source that opened this section, which featured beginning and end times, and we said that the end time of that source where the first triangle appeared, the end time meaning when the Oni finishes his meal, is definitely at odds with our Mishnah. The beginning time featured in that source is also at odds with our Mishnah. So now, let's read all of this inside the Gemara. Beginning with the second word on the line where you see the triangle, the Oni v'Kohen Chad Shiurhu. Is it, as you just tried to conclude, that Oni and Kohen are one and the same? V'Raminu, we raise as a contradiction the following Tanaic source. Me'emosai maschilin likros shma ba'arvin. What is the beginning time for the evening Kriya Shema? Mishah shekidesh hayom ba'arve shabosos. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. From the time that Shabbos is said to set in, from the time the day is sanctified, that is a period called Bein HaShemoshes. That's a period between the sun going below the horizon and the appearance of three stars. So as far as Rabbi Lezer is concerned, that's the beginning time for the evening Kriya Shema. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Mishol Shakoyanim Mituhorim Lechol B'Trumosan. From the time that Kohanim, who had been Tomei, can resume eating their truma because they are Mituhorim, they have become Tohor. Rabbi Meir Omer, Mishal Shekonim Toivlim Lechol B'Trumasan. Rabbi Meir says it's from the time that Kohanim immerse themselves in the mikveh. From the point in time that they immerse themselves in the mikveh, that then, in anticipation of eating truma, they can recite the Kriya Shema, the evening Kriya Shema. Amar lo Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda asks, raises an objection to Rabbi Meir and says, "Velo kohanim mivo yomim tovlim." That's not the time of Shechiva, because kohanim immerse themselves while it's still daytime. Tevila needs to be followed by the setting of the sun, so that by definition, Tevila is taking place prior to the setting of the sun. Well, that's daytime, and we're talking about a nighttime zman of Kriya Shema. So Rabbi Yehuda raises an objection to Rabbi Meir's reference to Shas Tevila as a time for evening Kriya Shema. Rabbi Hanina Omer, Mishal She'oni Nichnas Lechol Pito V'Melach. Rabbi Hanina says the beginning time of Kriya Shema is from the time that the poor man starts his evening meal. In other words, that's Rabbi Hanina's time, which is different than what Rabbi Yeshua said, making it such that Oni and Kohen are not one in the same. Rav Achoy v'Amri lo Rav Acho Omer. Rav Achoy, in some versions have it, is Rav Acho, says, Mishah sheroiv b'nei Adam nichnasim lohasev.
from the time that most people start their meals. Rashi cites two possibilities. One possibility is it's a reference to their weekday meal, and another possibility is it's a reference to their Shabbos meal.
The Gemara continues, V'i Yamris Oni V'Kohen Chad Shiurhu. If, as you wanted to conclude earlier, that Oni and Kohen are one and the same, well, then it comes out, Rabbi Hanino Hainu Rabbi Yeshua, that Rabbi Hanino, who made a reference to Oni, and Rabbi Yeshua, who made a reference to Kohen, would be one and the same. But they can't be. They're arguing, as is represented by the fact that they both appear in one Tanaic source. Elolav, Shmamina, rather, you must conclude, in order to justify a machlokas between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Hanino, you have to say that Shi'ura de Oni Lechud, Vishura de Kohen Lechud, that the time represented by Oni is by itself is different, is separate from the time as represented by the Kohen being able to resume his Truma eating. And by saying this, by concluding thusly, we're going to say that the Reisha of the earlier Brisa is at odds with our Mishnah. Shma Mino, this is conclusive. Hey Minayu Mu'uchar, which is later, is the Oni a later time period, or the Kohen? The Kohen is represented by the Seis HaKochavim, as we mentioned on Omid Aleph. So is Oni before Seis HaKochavim, or is it after Seis HaKochavim? More answers. Mistabra d'Oni Me'uchar. It must be that Oni is pushed off till later. It's a later time period than Seis HaKochavim. Di Amris d'Oni Mukdam. If you're going to say that Oni is before Seis HaKochavim, what is the period known before Seis HaKochavim? We mentioned it earlier. That's called Bein Hashmoshos. Well, if you say that Oni is earlier than the Kohen time, which was Seis HaKochavim, will have a problem. Rabbi Hanina, who spoke about the Oni, Hainu Rabbi Elezer, he will come out to be one and the same with Rabbi Elezer, who spoke about Mishal Shekideh Shein Barev Shabbosos, which was Bein HaShmoshos. And those two also appear in the same source, the source we just read. Rabbi Elezer was, by the way, the first opinion in that source. His name was underlined, and it would be, if you're going to say that Oni is Mukdam, is earlier, is before Tseis, then he would be the same as Rabbi Elezer, who spoke about Bein HaShmoshos. El Olav, rather, you have to conclude, Shma Mino de Oni Me'uchar, that Oni is later. He's after Tseis HaKochavim, Shma Mino, that being conclusive. Omar Mar, we had learned earlier, and you'll notice we have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, and this will enable you to see where this source, where this quote is coming from. We had learned earlier, Omar Le Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda had reacted to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir above had said that the beginning time of Kriyashma of the evening is from the time that Kohanim are tovel in the mikveh. So Rabbi Yehuda said to him, "Valo kohanim ibol yom heim tovlim kovlim to kohanim immerse themselves during daytime hours." How can you, Rabbi Meir, use that as a reference to nighttime kriyashma? Well, shapir korma le Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir. It appears that Rabbi Yehuda has a conclusive argument, and shapir literally means well. He's saying well. He has a strong argument against Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir, Hachi Ka'omar Le. Rabbi Meir's response to Rabbi Yehuda would be thusly: Mi Sabris Da'ano Abein Hashmoshes Didoch Ko'amino. Who says that my definition of Bein Hashmoshes is the same as your definition of that time period? Now we know that immersion in the mikveh must take place before Bein HaShmoshes. That's a given.
Rabbi Yehuda's idea of Bein HaShemashos is the amount of time that it would take to walk a chatzi meal, a half a meal, which is roughly a half a kilometer, before the appearance of three stars. That's before Tzeis HaKechavim. And immersion would have to be before that. We have a little chart to help illustrate this. You could see this at the bottom of the page. That chart is a type of timeline. At the beginning of the chart, there's a dashed line, and it says Yom. That's a reference to daytime hours. Tevila is immersion in the mikveh. And then there's a solid line with a brace over it, which indicates after which is a time called Tzeis HaKechavim, at the end of that line, Tzeis HaKechavim. This solid line with the brace over it represents the amount of time that would take to walk a half a meal before Tzeis HaKechavim. Let us say, for argument's sake, it would take 9 minutes. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, Bein HaShemashos is a period of 9 minutes before the appearance of three stars. Now, before that, for example, 10 minutes before three stars, that would be called daytime. So Rabbi Meir is saying, who says that my idea of Bein HaShemashos is your idea of Bein HaShemashos? And if that would be, so I would agree with you that the immersion in the mikveh taking place so much earlier, meaning, let's say, before that 9 minute period, that's still daytime. And of course you wouldn't say Kriya Shema at that time. But rather, I don't hold like you with regard to the definition of Bein HaShemashos. The Gemara continues, Ano Abein HaShemashos to Rabbi Yossi Ko Amino. I follow the idea of Bein HaShemashos of Rabbi Yossi, the Omar Rabbi Yossi, Bein HaShemashos Keref Ayin. The time called Bein HaShemashos is like the wink of an eye. Ze nichnas veze yoytze. One enters and the other exits. The efsher la'amod olav, and it's virtually impossible to pinpoint that time. So that if we look at our little chart at the bottom, we noticed where Tzeis HaKechavim is. Rabbi Yossi's idea of Bein HaShemashos, you can see with little arrows, vertical arrows, underneath that line, toward the end of the line. The period called Bein HaShemashos of Rabbi Yossi is just moments. It's a moment before Tzeis HaKechavim, which the Gemara calls a wink of an eye. What is the Zman Tevila? The Zman Tevila, the time for immersion, is before that time, before that wink of an eye in time. Now, you can see that you're very close. You're the wink of an eye plus before Tzeis HaKechavim. That's very close to real nighttime. That could be classified as the time of Kriya Shema of the night. That is a time that a Kohen could actually immerse himself in the mikveh, because he is immersing before Bein HaShemashos, even though Bein HaShemashos is just the wink of an eye. He's immersing before that time being very close to Tzeis HaKechavim. We can therefore call that very well, we can call that Zman Shechiva. And hence, Rabbi Meir feels justified in his defining the beginning time of Kriya Shema of the evening as the time that Kohanim immerse themselves in a mikveh. When can they immerse themselves? Moments before the appearance of three stars. That is the time that people will be going to sleep anyway. And hence, that is called Zman Shechiva and appropriate for Kriya Shema of Arvis. This concludes today's Gemara section. For those who are interested, there follows a shiur on today's Tosfosim. Let us turn to the Tosfos at the beginning of Daf Beis in Maseches Brachos. You'll notice on the outside margin we have a Nosei Tosfos Me'emosai, a topic heading to introduce what will be dealt with in this particular Tosfos, Dibur Masel Meimosai, we have written, one point is, Haim Yoitzim Yedei Choivas Kriyashma Shel Arvis, would one fulfill his Kriyashma Shel Arvis obligation, Yedei Kriyashma Shekurin Bebeis HaKnesses Miba'od Yom, through the recitation of Kriyashma that was practiced in the Mariv davening, in the that took place when it was still daylight. Tosfos deals with a phenomenon of people davening Mariv, davening the Mariv service while it was still daylight. Part of the Mariv davening is the recitation of Kriyat Shema. So the question is, does one fulfill his Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis Chiyuv with that, at that davening? Another point that will be raised is Ma Mekoimo de Kriyat Shema Alamita. What's the purpose or the what's accomplished by Kriyat Shema that one recites before he goes to sleep? We will also see a certain structural note here for this Tosfos, and we've noted Mivneh b'Tosfos Hanal. A diamond will appear, and they are Deos b'Inyan Hanal. They are opinions regarding this issue of the Kriyat Shema that one says during a, we'll call it an early Mariv in Shul, where, as we said, people would daven the Mariv davening while it was still daylight. In addition to the diamonds in this Tosfos, which highlight first Rashi and then later Rabbeinu Tam, we will also see a series of triangles, which are a Sidra Shel Kushyos al Shitas Rashi. After we state Shitas Rashi, there will be a series of questions attacking his approach. Now the Tosfos. Me'emosai Kurin v'chulei. Pirush Rashi. Rashi explains, and this is found in the Rashi. You can see in our marked Gemaras, the fourth narrow line of Rashi commentary. Rashi there addresses what Tosfos quotes. Continuing the Tosfos, Pirush Rashi, Vanan Heichi Karinon Miba'od Yom, how is it that we recite Kriyat Shema while it's during daylight hours, V'ein Onu Mantinin L'Tzeis HaKochavim, and we don't wait till the appearance of stars, Kidem Meforesh B'Gemara, as the Gemara itself seems to indicate, Alkein Pirush Rashi, Shekriyat Shema Shel Hamita Iker, the real Kriyat Shema through which one fulfills his Kriyat Shema obligation is the Kriyat Shema that one says before he goes to sleep at night. V'hu la'achar tseis ha'kechovim. That Kriyat Shema that one says before he goes to sleep in his bed, that is definitely going to be after the appearance of stars. And it's through that that one will be fulfilling the expectation of b'shachdecha, as it says in the Torah. V'hochi isa b'Yerushalmi. And in the Yerushalmi Shas, it says thusly, im kora kodem lochein, if one recited Kriyat Shema before the three stars, lo yotza, he hasn't fulfilled his Kriyat Shema obligation. So then why do we bother saying Kriyat Shema in Shul, which is the Mariv davening, which is earlier than this Tseis HaKechavim? Kedei lamod betfila mitoch divrei Torah. In order to enter the Shmona Esrei davening, the Shmona Esrei, before one to enter it through having said something from the Torah. So that the Kriyat Shema represents a sort of lead-up or a means of getting your mindset into an appropriate fashion for Shmoneh Esrei, so we say Divrei Torah, and that's represented by the Kriyat Shema. But it has, as far as the Yerushalmi and as far as Rashi is concerned, the Mariv Mibaod Yom, that daylight or pre Tzeisek Kechovim Mariv with Kriyashma has nothing to do with the Kriyashma obligation, the mitzvah of Kriyashma. That's Shitas Rashi. Now you notice a triangle, and there's a series of questions. We've also included a long question marking that you can see to the immediate left-hand side of the Tosfos, a kuf that's encircled with a descending vertical dashed line. All of these lines make up, in effect, a question or a series of questions on Rashi. Tema lepirusho. There's a question, a wonderment is raised on Rashi. V'alo ein ha'olam regilim likrois somuch l'shchiva ala parsha rishona. The world is not accustomed to saying, as part of Kriya Shema al Hamita, somuch l'shchiva is before people go to sleep. All they say is the first paragraph, the im kain, if, as Rashi says, that Kriya Shema al Hamita represents the ikur, the main way of fulfilling the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, then shalosh parshios hoyolo likros. He should be reciting the three parshios that constitute the Kriya Shema mitzvah, the parsha of Shema, v'hoyoyim shemoa, and v'yomer. So, by the fact that the minhag ha'olam, the common practice of Kriya Shema l'amita, is to say one paragraph, it must be that you're not really fulfilling mitzvahs Kriya Shema with that particular recitation. The oid koshe, another problem with saying that Kriya Shema al Amita is the main Kriya Shema, the tzorech levorech b'Kriya Shema shtayim lefoneh u'shtayim lacharel ba'arvis. Kriya Shema is accompanied by two brachas before and two brachas afterwards, as is common to what we do when we daven arvis. And Kriya Shema Lamita doesn't have that. The Oid. Furthermore, the Oisa Kriya Shema Somuch Lamita Eino Elo Bishvil Hamazikin Kido Omar Basomuch. The Kriya Shema Lamita that we recite is a means of protection against Mazikin, call them evil forces, spiritual forces that could hurt a person. Kido Omar Basomuch, as the Gemara says on Daf Hey, it says, "V'im Talmid Chochem Hu Eino Tzorach." If the person in question is a Torah scholar, he doesn't even need that. He doesn't need the Kriya Shema Al Hamita, because the fact that he is a Torah scholar, the Torah learning that he is engaged in is sufficient. So that you could see that the Kriya Shema Al Hamita is not the means of fulfilling your Kriya Shema obligation. A Talmud Chacham wouldn't even be saying it. The Oid Koshe, and a further problem, the Im Kain, if it were so that the main Kriya Shema is Kriya Shema Lamita, Paskinon Krebi Yeshua ben Levi, it would come out that we would be following the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi in a Gemara later on in this Perek, and in effect we are not to follow his opinion, but rather we would follow the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, but which Tosis will explain immediately. But if you are going to say, like Rashi, that Kriya Shema al Hamita is the Iker, it would end up that we come out like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi de Omar. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says that when you look at a complete day, meaning day and night, it comes out, according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Tfilos be'emsa tiknum. The Shmona Esrays that we recite are in the middle, meaning sandwiched between the Kriya Shmas, Pirush Be'emtza Bein Shnei Kriya Shma, Bein Kriya Shma Shel Shachris. In the morning, what do? We say Kriya Shma, and then we say the Shmon Esrei. Ubein Kriya Shma Shel Arvis. According to Rabbi Shul Ben Levi, in fact, when it comes to the evening, you then do your Shmon Esrei, and then you do Kriya Shma. So that you have this 1-2-2-1 effect. Morning is Kriya Shema, then Tefillah. evening tefillah and then kriya shema. However, what's the problem? V'anan kaimolon k'Reb Yochanan, but we follow Reb Yochanan d'yomar lekamon. Reb Yochanan says, Ezu ben olam haba, who is to be, who has a portion in the world to come, zeh hasoimech geula shel arvis l'tfila, someone who geula is represented by kriyashma of arvis is recited samuch l'tfila, means before tfila. So that according to Rabbi Yochanan, the order of events as far as arvis is concerned is first kriyashma and then tfila. Not like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who says Tfilah, meaning Tfilah is Shmon Esrei, and then Kriyashma. But according to Rashi, that makes Kriyashma la Mita the Iker, it comes out that we would be, in effect, following Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's approach, and that is not to be done. Lochein Pirush Rabbeinu Tam, therefore Rabbeinu Tam offers his approach to this matter. De Adarabba Kriyashma Shel Beis HaKnesses Iker. The primary Kriyashma is the Kriyashma that is said in Shul, prior to Tzeisa Kechovim. V'im toimer heich anu korin kol kach mibod yom, you'll then ask, how is it that we're saying Kriyashma of Arvis so much, so far into the day, meaning so further back removed from the night while it's still day. V'yesh loimar, the answer to that is the Kaimalon K'Reb Yehuda, because we hold like the opinion of Reb Yehuda, the Omar Perek Tfilas HaShachar, who says in the fourth Perek of this Masechta, Dezman Tfilas Mincha Ad Plaga Mincha, that the Tzman of Mincha, which is the davening that precedes Arvis, Mincha, it lasts ad plaga mincha. Dahainu echod asor shaz pochos revia. Which, if you were dealing with a 12-hour day, it would be 11 hours minus a quarter, which would mean 10 and 3 quarters hours. If you were dealing with a perfect day of 12 hours of day lasting from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., and 12 hours of night from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m., Plag HaMincha would be until 4:45 p.m. Umiyad kesheyichle zman HaMincha maschil zman Arvis, and immediately with the conclusion of Mincha begins the time for Arvis. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, Arvis, which includes Kriyashma, is properly recited after 4:45 p.m. using our example of the balanced perfect day, 12 hours and 12 hours. Come what may, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Arvis is in effect being recited mibe'od yom. And therefore, the Kriyashma that we say as part of the Arvis in Shul, which is during this time, is quite all right. The fact that we cited Rebuta is a Tana, and it would then come out that the issue of what is the beginning time for Kriyashma, as we already saw a number of deos of Tanoim, here we would be adding just another opinion on that matter. So that Rebbeinu Tam justifies our practice of shul Arvis, which is Miba'od Yom, and thereby fulfilling Kriyashma Shel Arvis at that time, the Shul Arvis, that's in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda, and we follow that. V'im Toimar, you may ask, Heich onu mispalin tfilas mincha somuch l'chashecha v'afilu li'achar plaga mincha. How is it then that we, in effect, daven mincha closer to the night, namely after plag hamincha? A moment ago, you said that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, who would allow arvis after 4:45 p.m. So that would call arvis time. But we know that we daven mincha after plag hamincha. which would be in effect encroaching on Arvis time. Yesh lomar. So to this we answer, how is it that we're davening mincha somuch l'chashecha, meaning after plaga mincha? Well, dekaimolon kirabonon, because we follow the opinion of the Rabbonon, the Amri Zman Tfilas HaMincha Ad HaErev, that Mincha time, according to the Rabbonon, lasts until sunset. Ve'amrinon lekamon, and it says later in the Gemara, Hashtadolo itmar hilchisa loy kemar veloy kemar, since nothing conclusive on a practical lachic basis has been said vis-a-vis the Rabbonon and Rebbe Yehuda, namely, lo kemar, not like the Rabbanan, nor like mar, like Rebbe Yehuda, since nothing conclusive has been stated regarding these two opinions, the Gemara there says, the Ovid kemar Ovid, if you follow like one, you are in fulfillment, u'da Ovid kemar Ovid. If you follow like the other, you are in fulfillment, you are okay. So that we are giving license at this point to following both Rebbe Yehuda, who would enable Arvis to be said relatively early, and we're following the Rabbanan, who are giving license to the to the Mincha relatively late. Mikol Mokom Kasha. There is, however, a problem with this approach. Dehavi Ketrei Kuli Desasra Nahadodi. You should note, by the way, that we're now going to be starting a long question that takes a few lines to develop. You can see we've indicated this with a long question marking to the immediate left-hand side of the Tosfos text. What we said results in a problem, namely, following Rebbe Yehuda with regard to Arvis, allowing an early Arvis, and following the Rabbanan, which allow a Mincha, after Plaga Mincha, this is called David Ketrei Kuli de Sasrana Dodi. It's like following two lenient opinions that when pitted one against the other, they're in effect contradicting one another. Share, me'eze tam onu mispalim arvis miyad la'achar Plaga Mincha. What is the right that we have to say arvis right after Plaga Mincha? Mishum de kaimolon de shas Hamincha kolo kedivrei Rebbe Yehuda umiyad haveis man arvis, because you're in effect saying that mincha ends at plag. By saying mincha ends at plag at 4:45, you are thereby saying that arvis can now begin after 4:45. So that the idea of an early Arvis, namely a right after plag, is because you're saying mincha ends at plag. And yet, ubizman hatfilo atzma, when it comes to mincha itself, lo kaimolon tribute elik rabbanon. You're saying that mincha goes till after plag. It's like, kind of like, make up your mind. Are you saying that mincha goes until plag or after plag? Alkein omeri. So the Ri answers, and he answers, and this is a long answer. It takes you to the last narrow line, and we've indicated this with a long answer marking, the tuff that's encircled to the immediate left-hand side of the Tosfos text. Therefore, the Ri says, the Vaday Kriyashma Shel Beis HaKnesses Iker, he goes, the Ri follows Rabbeinu Tam, that the Shul Kriyashma that we say is in the Shul Arvis, which is before Tseis, that was the practice that is followed by many even today, and was the case in the time of that Tosfos is referring to. The Anu, that once again the Kriya Shema of Beis HaKnesses is Iker, is the main one. The Anu Shemispalim Arvis Mibod Yom, and that which we daven Arvis Mibod Yom. Even though we're saying Mibod Yom, meaning Arvis, including Kriya Shema, before Tseis, even though we are saying we are saying Mincha after Plag,
How does this, how can we explain this? Sviralon kahani tanoi de Gemara. Because we follow tanoim brought on Amid Beis of the Gemara that we learned earlier in our Gemara section of the Daf Yomi. De Amri, Misha Shikidesh Hayom. That Kriya Shema can be said from that time. Shah Shikidesh Hayom, which we explained was from Bein HaShmoshos, which is before Tzei Sakechovim. V'gam Mishah Shebnei Odom Nichnosim L'Hosev, from the time that people start their meals, Dainu Sudas Erev Shabbos, their Friday, their Shabbos, their evening Shabbos meal. V'hi Hoysa Miba'od Yoyim. It was at a time people would start their Shabbos meal during what we'll call daytime hours. U'ma'oysa Shah HaVizman Tfilah. And from that time is the time for Arvis. And until that time was the time for Mincha. Therefore, by incorporating or by adopting the opinions that are featured on Amid Beis, namely Shah Shikide Shayom or Shah Shebnei Adam Nichnasim LaHasev, which is the Sudas Erev Shabbos, we're saying that's the time for Kriya Shema of Arvis, and that's a time that's before Tzei Sakechavim, which we can call here Miba'o Yoyim. That's the time that people would be saying Kriya Shema in the shul, and until that time would be the time for Mincha, giving license to the post-plag Mincha and the Miba'o Yoyim Arvis. And by this approach, we're thereby avoiding the issue of trei kuli desasran ahadodi. V'gam raya, and another proof or evidence of this kind of practice, the rav having matzli shel Shabbos be'erev Shabbos umistama gam hoyokori kriyashma. Rav, the famous rav, the first of the tanoim of the amoroim period, he used to daven his Shabbos Arvis during late Friday afternoon hours, and he most likely was saying Kriya Shema. So we see that Rav also practiced this way. We can call this a relatively speaking early Mariv or Arvis, and just before that having been able to have daven Mincha. Nikol oisen harayos, from all of these proofs, mashma de kriya shma shel beis hakneses hi ikar, that the main kriya shma is that which we say in shul, which we said before was miba'od yom. V'ha de komar by Yerushalmi. Now there was a reference to this Yerushalmi much earlier in the Tosfos. We have a little arrow to the immediate left hand side of the Tosfos text. You can see above where that was mentioned. The Hadamar B'Yushalmi, Loma Hoyukurin Beveis HaKnesses. The Yushalmi made reference to why is it that we say Kriya Shema in the Shul. Originally, we got the impression from that Yushalmi that the Kriya Shema in the Shul was of a very minor significance. So, the reference made by that Yushalmi, Omer Rabbeinu Tam, Shoyu Regilin Likrois Kriya Shema Koidim Tfilosam. The practice that was cited in Yerushalmi was a recitation of Kriya Shema the way we recite Ashrei before our Mincha davening, for example. And that was their practice. It might be that before Mincha they also recited the Kriya Shema, the Shema paragraphs. From Tosfos, though, one gets the impression that in the Yerushalmi Minhag, they recited Kriya Shema like we recite Ashrei. The Oisei Kriya Shema Eino Elo Lamud B'Tfilo Mitoch Divrei Torah. The Tosfos Harosh mentions that, in fact, they did not say Kriya Shema with the Brachas. So that the Yerushalmi was talking about the use of Kriya Shema as a means of entering Tfilo, through having said Divrei Torah beforehand, and not for the purpose of being Yotzei the Chiyuv of Kriyashma. Umikan Nire, Mishikori Kriyashma Al Mitoso, from that which we've said till now, that the main Kriyashma is Kriyashma that we say in Shul, that Miba'od Yom Kriyashma, Mishikori Kriyashma Al Mitoso, someone who is going to be saying Kriyashma before he goes to sleep, She'ein Levorech, he should not say the brachos that accompany Kriyashma, the gam eino tzorech likrois elo parsha rishona, and all he needs to recite is the first paragraph.
The next Tosfos, Dibur HaMaschil, Lisni Deshachris Bereisha, the Gemara, in asking regarding the order that the Mishnayos deal with the Kriyashmas, whereby we speak first about the Arvis Kriyashma, the evening Kriyashma, and then the morning Kriyashma, why not speak first about the morning Kriyashma and then the evening one? And what's the basis for raising this question? So Tosfos says, "Kida'ashkechon b'tomid." We find this in the Torah when the Torah deals with the daily Tumid sacrifices. Tichtiv shel boker tchila. There, if you look into the Chumash Bamidbar, Perek Chav Ches Posuk Dalet, it says, "Es hakeves echad taseh baboker, ves hakeves hasheni taseh bein harbayim." So that you see, there is precedent for dealing with mourning issues first. The Gemara, of course, answered that question by saying that the we see with regard to Kriyashma, it says first evening and then morning. The next Tosfos, Ihochi Seifa Dikotoni Shachris Bereisha, the Gemara had mentioned that based on the Pasuk B'Shav Chumecha, we see the order of things, and then it said, the Gemara had said, that we learn the Briyosu Shel Olam, where the Torah says, Vayi Erev, Vayi Boker. Regarding this, Tosfos comments, Ihochi, the Gemara had asked, Seifa de Kotoni Shachris Bereisha, the Gemara had said that the when dealing with the issue of the Birchas Kriyashma, we see morning is dealt with, and then evening. So if you're basing yourself on Briyas HaOlam, it should deal first with the evening brachas of Kriyashma and then the morning. So Tosfos explains, E Amris Bishlama de Somech Akra de Bishachvacha. If regarding order, we go like the first answer of the Gemara, that we rely on the Pasuk of Bishachvacha, and then it says Ufakumecha, Im kein eino makbid kro elo akriyashma. Well, the Torah and order is concerned only with your basic kriyashma, not with the brachas of kriyashma. Elo I amris de somech akro de brachas shel olam. However, if you say that our tanoim are based on the psukim of creation, im kein kopid akol mili. We see that regarding all matters, not just your basic kriyashma, but all other areas as well, as vast as the creation itself, everything is dependent on the order of first evening and then morning. Well, if that be the case, in Kain Seifa Dikotoni, then the Seifa that speaks about the Birchas Kriyashma, it should have featured evening brachas first and then morning. So that as far as Tosfos is concerned, the Gemara's kasha of Ihochi Seifa Dekotoni Shachris Bereisha, that's a question only according to the answer that said order is dependent on what we see Bebriyosu Shel Olam. But according to the first answer of the Gemara, that order is based on Bishachvacha V'Kumecha, that's restricted to Kriyashma itself, the three paragraphs that we recite as part of the mitzvah Kriyashma itself. As far as brachas are concerned there, we don't have to speak about evening first, because the brachas are not something mentioned in the Torah. The Pasuk of Bishavu Gomecha is dealing with that which is
mentioned in the Torah, namely Kriya Shema itself. But as far as brachas are concerned, there you can talk about the morning ones first, as in fact it does. And hence the Gemara's Kashav, Ihochi, Seifa de Katani, is a question only if you're saying the order is based on Brias Ha'olam. The next Tosfos, Dibur HaMaschil, Mevorech Shtayim Lefoneha, V'sheva Brachos Havi. If you tally up the Birchas Kriyashma, the three of the morning and the four of the night Kriyashma, three and four is seven. There are seven brachas. Havei keneged, it's in honor or corresponding to the pasuk that says in Tehillim, Sheva b'yom hilalticha, that we praise the Almighty seven times. That seven is a reference to the seven birchas kriyashma. V'lo kochoshiv yiru einenu, outside of Eretz Yisrael, many communities recite after the bracha of Shomer Amo Yisrael Lo Ad, a paragraph ending with a section called Yiru Einenu. This would be an eighth bracha. However, the reference that the Yerushalmi is making of Sheva brachas is the seven brachas because of the pasuk Tehillim is not taking this into consideration. Tahi bracha tiknu rabbonon kidei lahamtin lechavereihem bebeis haknesses. That bracha of Yiru Einenu is not a bracha that was formulated for the benefit of Kriyat Shema or as part of the Kriyat Shema construction, but it's a very likely a later technical addition, so as to literally to buy time. That's kidei lahamtin lechavereihem beis haknesses, to enable people who, let's say, come late to shul, so they will be able to catch up in that which they have to daven while those who came on time are reciting this section of that ends with the paragraph of Yiru Einenu. So it's a means of enabling the latecomers to catch up so that everyone finishes their davening together. Tosfos goes on to point out V'davka b'beis ha'knesses shelohem shoyu oimdin basodeh. This idea of everyone finishing together was something applicable only to the shuls that were in the time of the Gemara, that were located out of town. They were located in the fields. V'heim misukonim min hamazikin. Places out of town are perceived by the Gemara to be places that one would be in danger of these evil spiritual forces, and therefore, in order to protect against these forces, a person should not be alone. And in order to guarantee that a person is not alone, we want to make sure that everyone finishes davening together. Avol bebotei knesios shelonu, but our shuls, Tosfos points out, that are located in town, so that in general people are not alone. Ein tzrichin lahamtin lechaverim ela belayla, the need to wait for someone else who's taking a longer time to daven, in order is the need to wait and leave shul together, is for us a consideration only at night when there aren't many people around. But during the day, this is not a consideration. However, in the time of the Gemara, where shuls were located in isolated locations, it seems from Tosfos, even during the daytime, there was a need to make sure that people were not left alone. The next Tosfos, V'ho komashmon de kapora lo ma'akfo. Our Mishnah taught that the beginning time of Kriyashma is from the time that Kehanim, who had been Tomei, can now resume their eating of Truma. And that
our Mishnah, which associated that with the nighttime Kriyashma, shows us that the need to bring a sacrifice, which is characteristic of many different types of Tumah, is not a binding factor with regard to the permission to resume the eating of Truma. And so that was what our Mishnah was accomplishing by saying, Mishol Shakudim Nechlosim Lechol B'Trumason. The Im Tomar, Tosfos asks, Ha Tanino Chara Zimno, this particular point has already been taught in Maseches Negoyim, in a different tractate in Maseches Negoyim, Umaisi Lo BeHa'orel, and it's also quoted in Maseches Yevomis. It says, Heriv Shimsho Oichel B'Truma, with the setting of the sun, one can now partake of Truma, which he wasn't able to beforehand because of his Tuma. So we already know this information without our Mishnah here in Brachas. So there seems to be redundancy. V'yesh lomar, we can answer, deregilus shel Mishnayis. It is common, is a regular phenomenon. In the case of Mishnayis, lashmi'inen, b'kaitzer af l'mashim efurish kvar, to tell us in an abbreviated fashion, as we're doing in this Mishnah, that which has already been stated explicitly already in other places, so that the objection of redundancy is unfounded, because that is in fact the style of Mishnayos. We continue with Omid Beis. The Tosfos at the top, Dilmo Bias Orohu. The Gemara was analyzing the pasuk of Vo Hashemesh V'Toher and raised two possibilities. Is Ubo Hashemesh Bias Shimsho, which has to do with the setting of the sun, O Dilmo Bias Oro. Now Rashi explained that Bias Oro was a reference to the morning. Tosfos will cite the Rashi and raise objections. Before we learn the Tosfos inside, we've added a topic heading for this Tosfos that you can see on the outside margin, Nosei B'Tosfos Dilmo. We've written Kushya al Rashi. There will be a question raised on Rashi. The Piresh Bias Oro Shiyuzrach Oro. Rashi explained Bias Oro of the Gemara as a reference to the shining of the sun of the morning. Now let's see inside. So the Tosfos Dibur Masal Dilmo Bias Orohu Pirush Rashi Ad Shiyizrach Oro Shel Yom Hashmini. Maybe the time for eating the Truma is with the rise of the sun on the eighth day. Eighth day is the eighth day after a seven-day purification period, after having been Tomei, Umai Vitoher. And what would Vitoher mean in that case? Toher Gavro. Shiitar, Shiitoro Ish Bavoas Korbanosov. Rashi explained, Vitor means the person becomes Tomei through his bringing of sacrifices. Vitemo Lepirusho. There's a problem with Rashi's explanation. Lifroch Ahi Deha Oreo. The same question that our Gemara is asking here as far as what is the meaning of the pasuk of Uvo Hashemesh V'Toyer could have been raised in Maseches Yevomis, where it says Deheriv Shimsho Oichel B'Truma V'Chulei, and it mentions over there in the Gemara in Yevomis the pasuk of Uvo Hashemesh V'Toyer, and the question could have been asked over there as far as Rashi's approach is concerned, Minolon de Bilas Shimshahu. How do you know? How does the Gemara in Yevomis know that the Pasuk is a reference to the setting of the sun? Yet the Gemara in Yevomis doesn't even raise this question. It doesn't raise this analysis. V'oid, another problem, Heichi Motzi Lemeimar de Mairi Bezricha. How can you say, like Rashi says, that the Ubo Hashemesh Pasuk is talking about, as one of the two possibilities, the shining forth of the sun in the morning?
If the pasuk was trying to make reference to the shining forth of the sun in the morning, the language of the pasuk should have been different. It should have said v'zorach hashemesh v'toher, using the word v'zorach kamoi, like you find the pasuk that says mi mizrach hashemesh. The Torah, when it wants to talk about this shining forth of the sun, doesn't hesitate to use that verb form of zricha, oi, or lashon yitziah. Another expression suitable for shining forth of the sun is yitziah kamo hashemesh yotza alaretz. The sun shine forth, and you can see the Torah uses the word yotza. Midenokat bikra uvo hashemesh, from the fact that the Torah here does not use the word zorach, it does not use the word yotza, but uses the word uvo, almo dahainu shkia sachamo. It's therefore a reference to the something associated with the setting of the sun. V'oid, the besamuch komibayale, another problem that's raised on, with the regard to the Rashi approach. The Gemara asks, "Hai vo hashemesh, e bias orohu? Is it bias oro?" It uses that expression. Uposhit libraiso, and resolves it from the Tanaic source where it said, and we learned this in the Gemara already, it said, Zecher Ladovar, or Simin Ladovar, Tseisa Kechavim. Well, if Rashi's Pshat is correct, that we're dealing with an issue of, is it, in terms of analyzing the pasuk, is it sundown or rising of the sun? Well, then Tifshot Mimas Nisan, then our Gemara that asked the question, the Marova question, is it Bias Shimsho or Bias Oro, and Bias Oro is a reference to the morning, then the question could have been resolved instead of a citation from the Braisa source, Tifshot Mimas Nisan. The Mishnah in Negoyim could have been used to resolve that question, where it says, Heriv Shimsho Ochel Betruma. Almo Dahainu Bias Shemesh. To review that last point, the Gemara that raised the question of Ubo Hashemesh V'Toyer, is it a reference to Bias Shemesh or Bias Oro? And as Rashi saw it, is it a question of nighttime or morning? And in order to resolve that, the Gemara cited the Braisa later on that spoke about the time that Kohanim eat Truma, which is the subject of the pasuk that we're currently analyzing, Uvo Hashemesh V'Toyer, and the Braisa cited Simin L'Dover Tseisa Kechavim, it would have been more appropriate to cite a Mishnah, which is a more authoritative source, the Mishnah in the Goyim that says, Herif Shimsho Ochel B'Truma. You see that Herif Shimsho, meaning sundown, which is a nighttime phenomenon, that is the time for Achilas Truma, without having to cite the Braisa. So the fact that the Gemara did not cite that Mishnah in the Goyim shows that the issue would not have been resolved through citing that source, showing us that apparently the issue is not one of day versus night. Rather, we are now going to introduce a new pshat. V'yesh lomar dehochi pirusho. Mimai dehai uvo hashemesh v'toher bias shemesh hu mamish. Who is to say that Ubo HaShemesh V'Torah is a reference to
the full setting of the sun, the complete setting of the sun, umay v'toyer Torah Yuma, and that v'toyer would mean the end of the day, the hainut seisak echavim, the complete setting of the sun is associated with the appearance of stars. Dilma bias orohu, maybe it's bias oro, the hainu tchilasa shel shkia sachama, the beginning of the sun's setting. That's the where it starts to dip down below the horizon, but the majority of the sun is still visible. From that point in time where the sun touches the horizon, there is still daytime. Chomesh milin ad tzeis hakechavim. There is the amount of time that one would be able to walk 5 mil, that's 5 kilometers. That's quite a bit of time before Ad Tzeis HaKochavim. Umay v'toyer, and if you say that pshat, that Uvo HaShemesh is a reference to the time that the sun starts dipping below the horizon, but just starts, what would v'toyer mean? That's not end of day anymore. Rather, toyer gavra, a reference to, at that point, a person becomes purified. V'hashto l'masnisin deha orel lo koshe midi. Now, with this pshat in mind, so then there's no basis for raising the question, is it morning? It's poshet, then, that it's a reference to end of day. Tosis, let's read that line again. V'hashto l'masnisin deha lo koshe midi the motzi lemeimar herev shimsho, the hosam hainu lav dafka shkias hachama, the af mehosam lo tifshot, the hainu tseis hakechavim. And from there, we wouldn't be able to conclude our Gemara's kasha, namely citing the herev shimsho as being the resolution, would not have resolved our question. Therefore, since our question was a question, is it the beginning of the sundown, or is it the complete end of the sundown, we wouldn't have been able to resolve the matter by saying Harif Shimsho. Therefore, we have to bring in something more conclusive, and that's our Braisa that mentions Tseis HaKoychovim. The next Toisvis. Imkain Lemo Kro Vitar. If so, that Toher Gavra, then the Gemara had answered, it should have said Vyitar. Let us bear in mind, according to the Tosafos' Pshat, Toher Gavra would have been something accomplished with the beginning of the sun dipping below the horizon, just the beginning. At that point, the person would have become Tohor, as opposed to Toher Yoma, which means end of day, which is appropriate for Tseis HaKechavim. Tosfos points out, Afagav debekama mekoymos ksiv v'toyer, even though in other places you find the Torah using the word v'toyer, and the kavona is a reference to the person, and there we don't raise any objection that it should have said v'yitar, hosam leko lemiti. In those cases, it's obvious that it's a reference to the person. There's no room for making a mistake in thinking that you need to have Tseis HaKechavim. Aval hocha de'iko lemiti, but here, where there is room for error, where a person might think that v'toher is a reference to the end of the day, and you want to explain that it means person achieving tahara, havi le lemichtav v'yitar. It should have been clearer and use v'yitar. to show that it's a reference to the person. Since it didn't say in our posuk v'yatar, so I know it's not a reference to the person, but rather a reference to the end of the day as represented by Tzeis HaKerchovim. The next Tosfos, Dibur Maaser Mishoh She'oni Nichnas Lechol Pito B'Melach. One of the beginning times of Kriya Shema that was cited in this in the Brisa was from the time that the poor man starts his meal. The Tosfos raises a question. You can see this question lasts a number of lines. We've indicated this with the long question marking the kuf that you see encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Tosfos text. Tema oni gufe mosai yispalel. When will the oni himself daven? To amris zman achiloso. We're saying that the time that in which the oni eats, hainu zman kriyashma. That's the time for kriyashma. The kevan shebo zman kriyashma. Once the time of kriyashma arrives, also lahasu besuda achi yispalel bereisha. It's forbidden to start a meal until you daven first, kidesanya lekamon, as the Brisa says later on daf dalam and beis, the kore kriyashma spalil. First you say kriyashma, then you say the shmone esrei, the oichel pito mevorech, and only then you eat your meal and mevorech. The chol oival divrei chachamim chayav misa. Anyone who violates this rabbinic teaching is guilty of misa. So the question very simply is, if you're defining the time for Kriyashma as being the time that the Oni starts his meal until he finishes his meal, so when is the Oni himself going to daven? And if you will say, well, he eats his meal and then davens afterwards, he's not allowed to do that. V'yesh loymar. The answer to this is as follows. Dizman tefillah have koidem lizman suda. The zman of tefillah is a bit before the time he actually eats his meal. The lav dafka misha'oni nichnas lecho. It's not literally from the time that he starts eating his meal. Ela purto meikora ko'omar. Rather, the zman of arvis is a little bit before that. She'ad shiachinu lo sudaso yikra bispalel. Then until they prepare his meal, he'll have enough time to say the kriyashma and daven. The Gemara had mentioned that even though there is no actual proof that the day is defined from dawn till Tzeis HaKerchovim, nevertheless, there is a hint to it. However, when we learned the Gemara, it seemed very clear from the Psukim that it was a very solid proof. So why does the Gemara term it that it's not an actual proof, but rather a hint to it? Raya Gemura Eina, Tosfos explains it's not a full proof. The psukim in Sefer Nehemiah were not dealing with kriyashma, so that in seeking out the definition of nighttime based on Tzeis HaKerchovim with regard to kriyashma, that we can't say that those psukim were addressing the issue of kriyashma, and hence, at best, it serves as a zecher ledavar, a hint to the definition of day vis-a-vis kriyashma, but not an actual proof. The Gemara mentioned in determining the time of oni vis-a-vis kohanim. The Gemara had asked, which one is earlier? The I salka daitoch, the oni kodim, if one were to position the oni before kohen, what would come out is Rabbi Chanina Hainu Rabbi Eliezer. We would end up making Rabbi Chanina the same as Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Chanina had spoken about the time of the Oni, starting his meal. And if you're going to say that that is before Kohen, Kohen was represented by Tseis. What's before Tseis? Bein HaShmoshes. Well, then it would come out that Rabbi Chanina, who spoke about the Oni, would be the same as Rabbi Eliezer, who mentioned Bein HaShmoshes. V'lo motzi lemeimar de'oni kodim l'kiddush hayom. It's not likely that we would suggest that the Oni is that the Oni, which is represented by Rabbi Chanina, is earlier than Kiddush Hayom, which is namely earlier than Rabbi Eliezer. Oy Kiddush Hayom kodem l'shiur the Oni, or that Kiddush Hayom was a point in time earlier than Oni. Why not? The lo mistabra l'chalei kol kach b'shiurei zman shchiva. The whole zmanim halolu ispe. It's not likely that there are so many different times for defining shchiva. As it is, we have quite a few different deos on the topic. But to suggest that, suggestion that the Oni and is a bit before Kiddush Hayom, or Kiddush Hayom is a bit before Oni, that's already stretching things too far. Omale Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda had objected to Rabbi Meir, who spoke about the Zman of the Kohanim being Toivel, and he had said, "V'halo Kohanim ibod yomim tovlin." Kohanim immerse themselves in the mikvah while it's still day, so how can that be defined as the time for Kriyashma of Arvis? So Rabbi Yehuda's objection to Rabbi Meir was an objection of, "Hey, you're giving us too early a time." The Gemara asks, "Well, Tema, Tikshi le lenafshe." Couldn't this question be raised on Rabbi Yehuda himself? Sharei plag hamincha mibaod yom hi. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Arvis, including Kriyashma, begins right after plag hamincha. Plag hamincha, we explained earlier, if you assume a 12-hour day from 6 a.m. till 6 p.m., plag hamincha would be at 4:45 p.m. Arvis would start right after that. That's quite a bit before nighttime sets in, and yet Rabbi Yehuda himself is saying that's all right. It's all right to daven Arvis at that point. V'hu Omer, miyad kishyavur plag hamincha havizman tfilas Arvis. Right after plag hamincha, right after 4:45 p.m. is the time for Arvis, including Kriyashma. So you see that Rabbi Yehuda is not bothered by the fact that you're saying Kriyashma of the evening Kriyashma so early. So why is Rabbi Yehuda here objecting to Rabbi Meir? V'yesh loymar. The answer is the lididei lo kashya. As far as Rabbi Yehuda himself is concerned, there is no question. The lo dorish b'shach v'chol v'kamecha. He doesn't look at the posuk of b'shach v'kamecha as a posuk referring to time for Kriyashma. In other words, granted, there's an obligation of saying Kriyashma in the morning and a second Kriyashma later in the day, but it's not defined, as far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, by B'shach V'chol, the time people go to sleep. It could be, in fact, earlier than that. That's as far as Rabbi Yehuda himself is concerned. Aval Rabbonon, but according to the Rabbonon, apparently including Rabbi Meir, Didarshi, that darshan the pasuk of b'shoch b'cha as a time definer. Kashya, the question then is, davening kriyashma at the time the kohanim are tovil in the mikvah, like Rabbi Meir said, d'eino zman shchiva. According to you, Rabbi Meir and company, that b'shoch b'cha is the time for the second kriyashma, the later kriyashma. Well, the time that Kohanim or Tovil is not the time of Shchiva. And that, according to you, would be a problem. With that, we conclude our Shi'ur for today.